Welcome back to Christian Discernment. Henry Runge here with Steve Elzinga. And today we're going to talk about something close to many of those called into ministry, and that is actually calling discernment or ministry calling discernment.
All right.
1 Corinthians 1, verse 26 and 27. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak of the world to shame the strong.
So, this verse, a lot of times I think Christians think they're not called because they look at themselves and they go, I'm not that talented.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not connected to the right people. In other words, we look at all the things that negate,
right,
you know, who we are.
Or but you've been through some experience. You've gone through this divorce.
Yeah.
I have been abused
in
your life. You've disqualified yourself.
Yes.
Rich DeVos used to say, people do that, Henry. They disqualify themselves.
Right. But this verse clearly suggests that it's not about all those things. It's about God's call in your life.
Yeah. It's His calling, not your self-judgment of yourself.
Right. So how do you connect to the calling that God has in your life?
Wow.
And sort of get through all the negativity around you. Because it's not only self-negativity that keeps you from knowing the call that you have from God, but it's people around you. You think you're called to something, you know?
People
sometimes will judge you because of whatever they've seen at your worst.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Am I a Christian?
So that's the first calling, if you will. Right. Am I a Christian? So how do you discern, Henry, about whether you're a Christian?
Well, first of all, as I have experienced in my own life, is when I gave myself to the Lord, and as a young, and then kept doing that, I mean, in various phases,
yeah,
what started happening is I really thought about the Lord and His presence a lot. I thought about the whole Christian narrative, about the Bible meant something to me, the words of the Bible. I processed sin differently than people I knew who did not process sin that way. I mean, I wanted to love, even though intuitively, in my human nature, I didn't feel love for that person. I actually looked at that person as somebody, a broken sinner like me, and a conviction came that I need God. God is the center of my life, and I need Him. And I want to then not only live for Him, but I want to bring as many people to heaven with me as possible. I probably gave you way too much there.
No.
I think
you gave, you know, now some would make it so simple that, well, if you gave your life to Christ, you're called. It's done. You are a Christian because you did that. But I think, like in the Heidelberg Catechism even says that your good works are evidence that you have faith. Well, why do you need evidence that you have faith? Because a lot of times we're charlatans about,
right,
you know, we say we've given our life to Christ, but we didn't even know what that meant. What
right.
does it mean? So in some ways, giving your life to Christ is a process
that
happens over a lifetime. And that's why I like what you said, that you've given your life to Christ many times.
Yeah.
Because, you know, someone said that the last thing to get converted is your billfold. You know, that, you know, Christians, okay, I'll accept this, Lord. I'll accept heaven and eternal life.
Right.
But I'm not giving you this part of my life. And I'm not giving it. But over time, you know, Christ becomes Lord of more and more of our lives. So
that was interesting. You said billfold. Many vision partners have written, and they said, you know, Christ is Lord of mine. And now my money, and we want to make sure that we share with others.
Right.
I mean, it's fascinating that comes to a lot of people.
So the verse that we have here is, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him
right.
should not perish but have everlasting. So obviously belief is the
core,
the key
faith
thing.
Yeah.
But again, belief is something that can grow.
Right.
Right.
you can have a stronger belief or a weaker belief.
Right.
And so being a part of a Christian community, all the Christian living, all of that helps you confirm the calling that you have.
Exactly. So then what is my purpose? Why did God call me here? And we read in Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose.
Okay. So we're going to look at this whole purpose under these categories. We're going to look at gifts. How do you know that you've been called? God gives gifts. God uses the interests that you have. God gives you certain opportunities. God may give you a specific calling, and we'll talk about that. And then there's a confirmation of all these things.
Right.
So we're going to look at each one of these.
So, first of all, gifts.
Gifts.
And we see in 1 Corinthians 1:7, therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed.
Right. And there's another verse in 1 Corinthians 12 that talks about how a gift has been given to each one for the good of all.
There's many gift passages in the New Testament. So as you discern your calling, are there gifts that you have that you'd like to lay at the feet of Jesus?
Right. Or looking at your gifts may help you discern what you're exactly called, because God is going to give you a gift that coincides with your calling. So if he gives you the gift of leadership, then maybe your calling is to lead a Bible study or to lead a church. Or if God has given you the gift of mercy, you might become a deacon and take courses.
A mercy deacon.
Yes. So, you know, your gifts maybe coincide with your calling. So discovering your gifts is a great way to figure out what you're calling.
Interests. Be shepherds of God's flocks that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve. I remember when I was called to ministry, I believe my first sort of impression of calling came with my grandma and my cousin Melvin. We were fishing. We came up, and my grandma said to us, "Yeah, kids, come in here." You know, I thought I was in trouble. Not really. I wasn't in trouble. And my grandma read from Jeremiah 1, and before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And there's a passage that talks about before you were born. Mm-hmm. And as she said that, for no particular reason, something quickened in my spirit. And there were no ministers in my family. I didn't even know what a minister did. But I felt like God has a plan for me, Henry. And I felt that. I felt that sense of a holiness that there was something God wanted me to do for my life.
Right.
Now, it was confirmed, we'll talk about confirmation later, but that calling and those moments of calling occurred various times.
Right. So how does that relate to interests?
Well, after that, I became interested in what the minister did.
Okay.
I became interested in what, you know, the elders, ministers in our church, the deacon ministers in our church did. I became interested in church things. I listened to sermons more. You know, all of a sudden, something, I felt even more remorseful when I sinned.
Right.
You know, my interest in the things of God, of studying the Bible.
Yes.
It was
interesting. You know, when I first went to college, I was pre-med.
Okay.
And so I enrolled in biology and chemistry, and I enrolled in psychology.
Okay.
Class. Okay. So as I'm taking these classes, I couldn't stand biology.
Right.
I couldn't stand
chemistry. Right.
But why people do what they do and helping people and all those things became my interest. And so I thought I was interested in something, but God took my interest.
Right.
What I'm trying to say is sometimes God uses your interests to direct you and to start leading you down a certain direction. Maybe it doesn't feel like a calling at first.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But
You know, so I thought I was interested in something, and I went down that trail, and you know, only to discover that's not very real. I really want to work with people. Right. I don't want to sit in a lab and you know chromosomes and all these things. I want to deal with people. So God used my interests. I didn't even know what they were.
Right.
And He started pushing me in that direction. And then, you know, little by little, He used my interests and all kinds of other influences to get me good in
seminary. So, like, calling and interest in ministry can be something, like, I felt I had that moment.
Yes.
You experience little pieces of that moment until it coalesce together in a self-aware moment.
Yes.
I am actually interested in serving the Lord in ministry.
In fact, I was like, I felt so not like a minister. I think I want to do ministry, but probably not as a pastor. I didn't see myself in that role. It took God more convincing and pushing and shoving to bring that about, but He started me down a trail.
Right, and today, especially as we understand it more today, back in our day, there was really the career box of ministry.
Right.
Today,
there weren't a lot of options.
Today, you can live in that, lean into the passages of their many gifts.
Yeah.
There is many ministries.
Yes.
You know, and which is a different day.
Right.
When I did it, it was one option.
I would love to have done it again today.
In that worldview. And in fact, who knows if we'd have been like bivocational and then like ministry biz. You know, we don't know today, but it's okay. I mean, those are all the days, and God has purposes in all of these interests.
Absolutely.
Well, then ministry calling to something. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truth in spiritual words.
Right.
Now, that's like a minister here.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that some of us, you know, understand that calling to something.
Yeah, like, or, you know, people have a calling. I met a guy playing pickleball. He went to seminary. He led a church for a while. But then he got introduced to this whole sex trafficking thing, and that just clicked for him.
Right.
And so he spent the next 15 years of his life in a ministry trying to do something about that. He felt a specific calling to a specific thing.
Hmm. You know, have you experienced a specific calling to a specific thing?
I'm still looking for that. I think, you know, in the beginning, I remember when I was in seminary, I my wife is into music. I was sort of into music, but I was too shy about it, not confident. And then I met another guy at seminary who was really good, and his wife was really good. And we formed a singing group. And we traveled all around the United States and Canada for 3 months. And I remember doing that thinking, I'm going to do something, but I have no idea what it was. I knew that God wanted to use me.
Right.
In fact, I was in Gallup, New Mexico, and I was leading a group of young people on a summer kind of ministry thing there. And I took them to the temple of something, some crazy church that was downtown. I didn't know a thing about it, but they were like out there. Okay.
Right.
They were having a revival. So I took these young people thinking, these people are going to experience something. And this revival guy was going on and, you know, doing his revival thing. And then he stopped and he went around and he came up to me. And he pointed to me and he said, God is going to do great things through you. And he went on and on and on. And then he went off. And I thought, one of these crazy people that you know, they pick on somebody.
Yeah, especially from our background where none of that happened.
No, this is not our thing.
Yeah, no.
And I'm suspicious of it all.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, a year later, I'm at Calvin Seminary. This was in Gallup, New Mexico. Now we're in Grand Rapids, Calvin Seminary. And I'm having lunch just with some guys. And there's some guy sitting there that I don't know, I've never met him. And he, you know, we're talking and this and that. Finally, he looks at me and goes, he says, I was there. And you were where? I was in Gallup, New Mexico at the Temple of whatever. And you were there and this guy. And then he told me what that guy said. Now, what are the chances of some guy, you know, first of all, we just went to some random temple of something church in Gallup, New Mexico.
Right.
And the chances of this guy being there and then us being at Calvin Seminary a year later,
I mean, okay. So now I don't know if the evangelist was a buffoon or whatever, but God right. can speak through a donkey. So
that's how you thought in those days.
Yes.
Because in our background,
yes.
that would have been not that would have been out of the norm.
Right. But my point is that God can call you through a lot of experiences, and mm-hmm. and you cannot predict how God's going to. He might do it through interest. He might do it through a grandmother that calls you
or
in.
Or a evangelist
yes.
in a temple in Arizona, confirmed by another believer in Grand Rapids. Now, here's my question. How could I have known you for 31 years and I've never heard this story? I mean, this is the first time. Everybody, I have never, I mean, I thought I've heard every story that Professor Allen was going to have.
I'll tell you what.
I have not heard that.
Because the Holy Spirit wanted you to hear it today.
Okay. And everybody else.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, and I think that's true. I do believe that God gives words of knowledge. Very specifically, I believe that God has called us in a 30-some-year relationship.
Right, right.
We've started ministries together.
Right,
we've
right.
mentored through Rich DeVos.
Yes.
I believe the Lord has given us a vision
right.
to do specifically what
right.
we've been doing, and including people like Dr. Fettes, as many,
right.
Brian DeCook. I mean, a whole host of people that God has called specifically to do something.
And he's called us specifically to talk to you today.
Yes.
This
yes.
moment,
yes.
wherever you are
yes.
right now,
yes.
God has ordained this moment
yes.
for his calling in your life.
And I believe you know that if there's a calling, you know it's there.
Right.
I believe that.
Yeah. And if you don't, you're doing the right thing, like learning and growing. And through, I mean, I didn't go to that church thinking I'm going to get called to
no.
anything. Right?
No.
So be patient. Keep learning, keep growing, keep walking with God, and God will show you the way.
Right.
He always does. Okay.
I think this is an important point.
Right. Confirmation.
Confirmation. So Phoebe has the letter of the Romans. She's carrying it to...
She's carrying the letter.
The letter.
Yeah.
The Roman letter to the Romans.
Yeah.
Paul wrote it.
Yeah.
So she's carrying it to deliver it. She herself is a diaconess minister. The word minister there is the word diaconess.
Right.
She's a minister in the church in Cenchrea. And so she's carrying this letter. And it's fascinating that the Apostle Paul writes actually in the letter, I commend to you, Phoebe. And that commending is actually something that happened in ordination,
mm-hmm.
credibility. If you're called to ministry and people don't see that you're called to ministry, that is a red flag.
Right. Right.
Right. Like the confirmation, even at Christian Leaders Alliance, we have a study program at the Christian Leaders Institute, but we ask for a recommendation, two recommendations, three recommendations. We want a local context for to be considered clergy. Because it's not just taking classes. Do people see in you
right.
the calling? And would they actually follow you in that calling?
Right, right, right. So, because we're called in community.
Right.
Christianity is not an individualistic sport.
Right.
It's a team sport. And the Spirit is one. Ephesians 4 talks about the Spirit being one. And if the Spirit speaks to you, he often will say the same thing to someone else.
Right.
And so that's like a confirmation. It's
yeah.
it's like things are confirmed with the witness of two people.
Yes.
Two people say it, then it was probably
right.
accurate.
Right.
So it's that same kind of thing. So maybe you feel called, and maybe the next step is a confirmation. And
right.
so humbly, it takes humility to do this.
Right.
And so, you know, we had to, in a way, submit to that. We went
right.
to seminary.
Right.
We got our
right.
degrees. But that wasn't good enough.
No.
We had to get confirmed by the whole staff at
yeah.
the seminary.
Yeah.
But then we had to go before a local board of local leaders in
yeah.
churches, to the churches that,
an
you
examination.
Know, called us and examined
yeah.
us to, you know, and asked where our vision was and our heart and what our walk was and,
right.
you know, all those things. To sort of confirm that we're on the right trail. I mean, we don't take our calling lightly.
Right.
And we don't
just assume that we know best. And I guess that's part of it. Because there's a lot of Lone Ranger prophets out there who declare that they're the prophet, they understand the Word of God, and they're going to do it. But that's ignoring the whole idea of the church, that Jesus is the head.
Right.
And we're all a part of the body. And if we're all part of the body, we're in submission to one another. There's a certain humility about that.
And I think confirmation is not just a one-time thing either. I think, as you know, when you preach a sermon or preach a message, if that's your calling, and people, they don't respond, in a sense, they're confirming that maybe a little more ministry training, you know, maybe a little more growing. There's a healthy aspect to evaluation and to have people evaluate you.
Yes.
And when they evaluate you and point out excellent things that you can do to grow, that's not bad. That's a confirmation that they see something and they're helping you grow. So confirmation is not just about ordination or clergy licensing or clergy ordination, but it's also about a process of commending in a healthy way. Now, I wonder about how, when we were confirmed, the process was so heavy and arboreous that basically few became ministers.
And it was sort of, you know, mostly emphasis on knowledge and what we knew about the Bible and doctrines and things like that. And they didn't always pursue, you know, they didn't even really ask what your calling was.
No.
If we had a specific calling.
We confirm that you're smart enough and studying enough.
Yeah. Which is really
the point. Or that you're not a bad person morally.
Right.
You know, in a lot of ways, the ministry training journey at Christian Leaders Institute and at the Alliance at the college is really a journey of confirmation.
Right.
Of what are you interested in?
Right.
And since the classes are free, you can explore.
Well, and with many courses, you can take a lot of them to see where is your interest.
Right.
You know, and listen to the Spirit as you take these different classes, because maybe the Holy Spirit is going to use one of these mini classes to point you in a certain direction.
Right. So, I mean, ministry discernment, what an enjoyable thing to think about, calling discernment. And you may be called to something else.
Right.
You know, you may be called to expand what you're doing now.
Right.
You may be called to stop something and start something else.
Right.
Who knows?
Right, who knows?
But it's an exciting journey.
It is.
And you are called. May God bless you in your calling.
Yes.